Good morning. How is everyone? Are you good? We took away some chairs, didn't we? Did you already say that? Oh, last week you said it. Okay. So this morning, I'm very excited because Jesus is here. And he's always with us. And I think sometimes we forget that. But, you know, as Pastor Corey was talking about the tithe this morning, it reminded me when he said, you know, it's not our tithe is we give the first fruits, right? Not just the leftovers. And I thought about it and I was like, how often do we do that in our days, in our life with our time, that we give God our leftovers of our time because we have other things that are of greater importance and more of our priority. For me, sometimes that can be sleep. I'm not going to lie, because I like to sleep. And, you know, I want to challenge all of us to start giving the first fruits of our time. That doesn't necessarily mean that when you wake up that you're going to spend 5 hours with the Lord, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to put him first in our mind, in our thoughts, in what we're doing. And, it's just, he deserves it. He put us first. You know, he didn't have to go to the cross, but he did because he loves us. And, you know, why do we get together on Sunday mornings? Why do we get together, period, to study the Word of God or to worship together? Why do we do that? Well, it's because we're supposed to get together to stir each other up in love and good works. In love, that's my favorite. Love is my favorite. And good works. So when we come together, we're supposed to stir each other up, one another up. So it's not just whoever's up here singing or playing in the band. It's not just who's up here speaking into the microphone. It's each of you stirring one another up in love and good works. That's why you talk to each other. And you say, hey, how was your week? What have you noticed God doing in your life this week? What can you do different this week that you can live for Jesus? Because he is the point. He's the point. There's nothing else in the world that is the point. And in America, we forget that a lot. Because the goal, even in the church, is to be up here a lot of times, right? And we've got to get rid of that. Stop trying to get Instagram famous. Stop trying to be put on TV. I'm not saying that those things are bad, okay? But what I'm saying is, where's your heart in it? Because if your heart is to point to him, then by all means, do it. But a lot of times we lose ourselves in that because people put pressure on us. You know, I really don't think that anybody was ever made to be famous, except for Jesus. And all of us, we are supposed to be making Jesus famous, not ourselves. And so for me, when I get up here, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like, as long as it's pointing some of you or all of you, hopefully, to Jesus. Because he's always the point. And it's not just in the church, it's in your life. He's the point in everything that you do. He's the reason you're able to do anything. You know, it's amazing to me that so much we'll attribute credit to ourselves because we did something good, or we'll attribute credit to a doctor, or, you know, I just got married to my amazing, wonderful husband, Carter, in December. I'm going to let you all guess what the question is now whenever I see people that I haven't seen in a long time. Yeah, are you pregnant? No, I'm not. My mom would be real mad at me if this is how I made my announcement. So would my grandma. But, you know, I went to the doctor, and she was explaining to me the process. Okay, we all know how you get pregnant, right? But here's the deal. She was saying that she was telling me all of these things that have to happen in order for you to get pregnant. And I think sometimes we dismiss pregnancy. It's a miracle. It is a miracle of life. Why do you think that the enemy has worked so hard to destroy unborn babies? It is a miracle that anybody ever gets pregnant. It's a miracle. And we just, you know, oh, well, that was a mistake. What? Okay, maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you were living out, but you know what? God gave you a miracle. And praise the Lord that things have been overturned in this nation that have needed to be overturned for a long time. But let me tell you something, the battle is not over. Because here's the deal. I heard a pastor say this one time. If the only thing that's keeping me from killing my spouse, so if the only thing that keeps me from killing Carter is that it's illegal, there's an issue. So if the only reason that unborn babies are not dying is because it's illegal, there's still an issue. Because it's an issue in the heart. And people, we need to start bringing Jesus to the next generation. And not grow weary in well-doing, as Pastor Rochelle said last week. That doesn't mean that we all have to be back there teaching the kids, although I do think they get put on the back burner a lot. But I'm talking about the kids in your own life. The people that are younger than you. You know, I think that it can be easy to get offended because you don't feel like people are listening to you. But what would have happened if Jesus would have got offended at people that didn't listen to him? He would have never gone to the cross. So keep doing it and don't grow weary in well-doing. The next generation needs to see the love of God. And that's consistency in your life. It's not a sermon preached. It's a sermon lived out. My grandma sitting right back there on the back row, Ma, I love you. She told me a long time ago. Long time ago. I couldn't tell you when, and she couldn't either because her memory sometimes struggles. So does mine, so we make a perfect pair. But she told me a long time ago, I'm not interested in hearing a sermon preached. I'm interested in seeing one lived out. And that's what every single one of you get to do. Maybe none of you, you don't want to preach. Okay, there's times that I don't either. I'm like, I'd rather not. I'd rather just sit down and listen. But every day, you have the opportunity to live a life of love that follows after Jesus, where you don't, the definition of love just came up on the screen right before I came up here, where you're not rude, you're not easily angered, you don't keep a record of wrongs. If we would just do that, if we would just not keep a record of wrongs, we'd be doing so much better. Because how many of you, a long time ago, somebody did something to you, you haven't seen them forever, and if they walked in the room, you'd be like, oh, I don't want to talk to them. You'd act like you didn't see them. I'm not here. We do that when we run into people because we keep a record of things that are done in our lives, and that breaks so many relationships up. You know, Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything except to love them. What if you lived as if nobody owes you anything? And all you owed anybody was to love them. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't live a life where he was owed anything by anybody. He just loved. He loved. He loved so hard that he bled and he died. His love drove him to that point. It wasn't his offense. It wasn't his anger. And boy, did he ever have every human right to be offended and angry. One of his innermost followers betrayed him with a kiss. But he still went to the cross. He still did it, knowing that that was going to happen. While you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he calls us to live a life of love. All of the commandments can be summed up in that word, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And let me tell you what love is not. Love is not selfishness. You cannot be selfish and walk in love. It's impossible, because love doesn't seek its own, ever. It doesn't seek its own. Does that mean you just stop taking care of yourself, you stop eating? No, okay, don't be ridiculous. But put others' needs above your own. And it's amazing when you do that, how your needs get met. And if all of us were doing that, we were helping each other, there wouldn't be, I mean, the Church of Acts did that, right? The early church. If all of us were looking out for each other, then there wouldn't be a person in need of anything. And it's time that the people of God started walking in the true love of the Spirit. And here's the deal. You cannot do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I can't. But that's why Jesus gave us his Spirit. He said, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit, who will bring, he told the disciples that he'll bring to your remembrance everything that I have ever taught you. Okay, if he said that to the disciples, then that means he'll do that for us too. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll bring to our remembrance what we need when we need it. And he will lead and he will guide us into all truth. All of it. Not just sometimes, all the time he will lead us. He is with us always. There's never, never a time that we are alone. Never. You may feel that way physically, like you don't have anybody around you that's in your corner, but don't buy into that lie. You know, Pastor Rochelle talked last week about the trap of deception. I think a lot of times we get deceived into thinking that nobody cares about us, nobody loves us. Ask God to open your eyes to see the truth. Because I guarantee you, there's at least one person that loves you. Well, I promise you there's one. It's Jesus. But chances are you've got somebody in your life that cares about you and loves you too in a human form. So my husband, my sweet, lovely husband, asked me this week, What are you preaching about this weekend? And I don't think I gave you an answer, did I? He said, and I was telling him a story about my family, and my family struggles a little bit with worry. Okay, my brother's shaking his head at me, but it is true. I was talking about my family struggling with worry, and Carter goes, I think that you really struggle with worry more than you care to admit. And he said, sometimes pastors need to be checked. So, so he said, so I think this weekend maybe you should preach on worry. And he said, and then you can tell everybody that I gave you the idea, and you can tell everybody how great I am and all of that. So this morning we're talking about pride. Okay, we're not really going to talk about pride. We actually are going to talk a little bit about worry, because that is something that we all tend to do. And I will admit that yes, I have I track on my cell phone the very important people in my life, not to say that you all aren't. I would probably track you all if you would let me make sure you're all okay. But I started doing that because I work with my dad and my brothers, and one of my brothers won't let me track him because he thinks that it's like communist or something for that to happen. So, but I started doing that because it helps me to see when they're going to go from one job to the other, because sometimes they forget to call me and tell me that they're headed to a job or something like that. But I will say this. I don't have to track my grandma, but I do, because she doesn't work for me. But if she leaves or forgets her phone when she goes somewhere and I call her and she doesn't answer and I look at her phone and it says that she's at home, I'm like, oh, no, she fell in the ditch. She can't get up. And I better go over there right now. Maybe I should call 911. They can get there faster. Okay, the reality is she went to Sam's and she left her phone at home. But how many times do we allow ourselves to get to the place where we think of these ridiculous things that could that happen? Could she fall in a ditch? Yes, she could. But did that probably happen? No. No, it didn't. And if my trust were to be in God, then I would not worry about that, even if it's something that could have happened. Because instead of thinking to myself, and I've gotten a lot better, I will say, because now whenever she calls, I'll just distract myself, or she doesn't answer, now I'll distract myself and I'll call somebody else, and if she doesn't call me by the end of that conversation, I'll call someone else, and then until she calls me back, and then I'll feel better. But for real, like, there's things in your life that you worry about, right? Every single one of us can worry. You have a doctor's appointment, and you get worried about what's going to happen at the doctor's appointment. You know, for me, there's the whole question of, you know, are you pregnant yet? Okay, so I've been married since December 11th, and I'm not pregnant yet. So my sister-in-law, Stephanie, she asked me, she said, are you going to be like me and start worrying that something's wrong, that you can't get pregnant because it's been 3 months and you're not pregnant yet? Okay. I said, no, I totally trust in the Lord. But I would be lying if I said that that thought didn't enter my mind, right? So a lot of times, here's what you got to do with a worried thought when it comes into your mind. You've got to make it obedient to Christ. You have to do that. Because if you don't, you will drive yourself crazy. Crazy. And so, for me, in the instance with my grandma, like, if I'm going to be worried about her falling, here's what I can do. Okay, she may have fallen, but I trust that God is with her right now because God is everywhere all the time. And I trust that he's going to work it out for good if something did happen, and that somebody's going to be walking and they're going to have seen her. So you can play out a scenario to make it good instead of making it bad. And that's not to say that you're denying that something bad could happen. It's just that you trust in God more than you trust in the bad thing happening. Because fear, which is worry, is faith in the wrong thing. And we need to put our faith in the right place, that is Jesus. So this morning we are, I had a point up there, but I kind of skipped over it already. We'll put it on the screen anyway. So the church is not about a sermon preached, a sermon listened to, a song sang, an altar call responded to. Are all those things good? Yes. The church is about a life lived, a life following Jesus' commandment to love as he is loved, and he gave himself up for us. So the scripture that we're going to kind of tie everything up with today is Galatians 6:8, which I'm pretty sure that Pastor Rochelle touched on this one last week, right? Or she used one close to it anyway. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So if you sow to your flesh, from the flesh you'll reap corruption. So Alex and KP this week at youth were talking about, Alex read the parable of the sower. How many of you have ever tried to explain what it means to sow to a teenager these days? Well, it just means to sow. Like, I don't know how to explain that. But he did a great job. And no, it doesn't mean to sew like a blanket or a shirt or, you know, fabric together, which I don't know how to do that either. But sowing and reaping, right? You sow something, which means that you plant it, you plant a seed, and then it produces something. If it's watered and cared for correctly, right? So everything that you do in your life, you are either sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the Spirit. Two options. There's no in between. The lukewarm, that's vomit. Read Revelation. But you sow to the flesh or you sow to the Spirit. That's in everything. And the thing that drives that a lot of the times is our mind. So what we're putting in our mind matters. What we're focusing on matters. What we listen to matters. What we watch matters. And some of you, all you watch is your screen as you're going like this. And that's not all good. There's some good on there. Don't get me wrong, because there's some people that put Bible verses and, you know, they'll say things, you know, that are all about Jesus. But for the most part, like, there's some kind of algorithm that's going to put something on there that's not going to be good for you to see. And so, again, I'm not saying that those things in and of themselves are bad, other than TikTok. I don't like TikTok, okay? We're not going to talk about that this morning. But it's where are you spending the majority of your time? What are you allowing your mind to focus on? And instead of whatever that is, could you focus on the Bible? Could you? Yes, you actually can. There's a Bible app. You can download it. There's several, actually, that you can download, and you can have access to your Bible all of the time. And it might start out small where you read the verse of the day. And maybe throughout the day, instead of, you know, you're bored, you have like a 10-minute break, a 5-minute break, or something like that. And instead of opening and playing a game, which can become very time-consuming. Guilty, I've done that too. Or instead of opening YouTube or Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, any of those things, what if you just opened your Bible app and you read the verse of the day? Well, if you did that every time that you picked up your phone, chances are by the end of the day, that verse is what you had been meditating on, and what you're meditating on goes down into your heart. And your heart is where everything flows out of. And last time that I was up here, I talked about the circumcision of the heart, which is cutting away of the unnecessary flesh. So if we are going to have a circumcised heart, meaning a heart that is set on Jesus, then we really have to focus on what we put in our mind that goes down into our hearts. It's important because you're sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the spirit. Stop trying to justify everything that you're doing and act like it's just fine. Be intentional about sowing to your spirit. Does that mean you spend all day in the Bible? I wish we all could. I do, but I understand. You got to go to work. You got to take your kids to school. You got to pick them up. You got laundry to do. You have all of these things. But in your going and your doing, you can focus on what you're thinking about. And maybe you take a verse that is, I love 1 Corinthians 13. So maybe you take one definition of love and you say, you just repeat to yourself all day, love is not rude. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not seek its own. Love is not easily angered. Maybe that's the one that you should quote every time you get in your car. That's what I have to do. And thankfully, my husband drives and I just get to judge his anger. But for real, when I get in the car, it is so hard. It's so hard. Love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient, right? There's a comedian that has a video of him driving a car, and he's got worship music playing. And he said this is what most Christians do. They have worship music playing, and then when somebody cuts them off, they're like, hey, you stupid! And then they go back to singing their worship music. It's a great video. You should look it up. It's John Creese, I think. But that is so true. we're all guilty of that. Come on. Who can get behind a wheel and not have their patience tried? No one. I mean, and if that is you, please come and teach me how to do that. Because especially with the what seems like overpopulation, it's becoming harder and harder to get in the car and drive 5 minutes down the road without it taking 20 minutes to get there. But you know what you could do? You could turn on a podcast, or you could turn on the Bible and let it read you a chapter, which is probably the best thing because you need to be sowing the word into your mind so that it gets into your heart. You could do that and ask the Holy Spirit when you get in the car, Holy Spirit, I cannot do this on my own. I need you to help me not get angry at these really stupid people. Maybe leave out stupid. But for real, you can't do it on your own. I mean, a lot of times we try to change the things that we do without changing what's in our mind and what's in our heart. And it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. So you don't do love, you become love. Jesus didn't just do love. He is love, and he became love in the flesh. And that's what we are to do. Not do all of these things because we'll get frustrated with ourselves when we mess up. When we're impatient, oh, I get so frustrated with myself if I mess up. But the thing is, then I'm trying to do it out of my own strength and my own ability instead of his. And he's the one that helps me become love so that what comes out of me is him. Instead of when I'm squeezed in the car, instead of anger coming out, what comes out is, man, thank you, Jesus, that I am driving safe to this point. Thank you that there was not a car that turned out in front of me and hit me or came from behind me and hit me. There's all kinds of ways that you can spin things. Instead of like, you know, oh, that person almost came into my lane and hit me. Did you see that? Thank you so much, Jesus. That was so close, but thank you that I did not get hit just now. See, everything that you can do, you can actually spin it to be good, to be of God, to give him the glory. Because that's the point of our lives anyways, to give him glory. So why don't we do it in all things? Which is what he calls us to do. So walking in love, which is, if you haven't caught on, that's what we're talking about this morning. It's a life lived, not a task done. And in order to walk in love, to become love, we have to deny ourselves. We have to. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, I didn't find it in the book of John, but it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke for sure. And it's the same scripture. And it says, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That was a verse when I was growing up that I just kind of looked past because it sounded really hard because I was like, well, I can't really pick up my cross. Like, I don't even know what that means. Have y'all ever seen the people that actually carry a cross? But what it means is just dying to yourself. Pastor Corey started out the year talking about that. Live a crucified life. Deny yourself. Deny the flesh that's inside of you that is contrary to the spirit that Jesus put inside of you. And realize that you are born again, if you are born again, and if you aren't born again, you should get born again, okay? Because we were all born into the flesh. Thanks, Adam. I'm just kidding. And Eve, okay, Joel, all right. But Jesus came, and now we can be born again into the spirit. So if you're born into the flesh, all you know how to do is live out of your flesh, right? When you get born again and you're born of the spirit, now you live from the spirit. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. Every single one. Sometimes it takes people a long time to silence their cell phones, and it's all right. It's hard to find the button sometimes. Oh, shoot. Sorry. Here's a really good idea. This is a Bible, right? Everyone see it? Please read it. Please. It will change your life if you allow it to. And don't read it just to read it, because I think, you know, for me, I'm a very task-oriented person in my fleshly nature, okay? And so I will set out to read, oh, I'm going to read 8 chapters today. Well, I'll read the 8 chapters, and I couldn't tell you anything that it said. Don't get caught up in a Bible reading plan. Are those good to keep you on track? Sure. Have I ever done it? No. But I'm sure they're great. But the thing is like sometimes when I switched my mind from being task-oriented to reading so many chapters so that I could get through the entire Bible, when I switched it from that, there would be times that I would spend 45 minutes reading the same 10 verses over and over again because that was what was speaking to my life in that moment. And when you read the scripture, you should ask Holy Spirit to show you what you need to see. And don't read the scripture for other people. You read a scripture and you're like, yep, love does not envy. Yep, Carter, he is so envious. He's not really. I just like to pick on him. But that's what we do a lot of times, right? We'll read a scripture and we're like, oh, I got to send this to this person because this is what they need to hear. Why don't you instead, in that moment, ask the Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see, and if they need to see this, please show it to them. And if I'm supposed to be the person to show it to them, let me do it out of love and not out of being right, not out of showing them that I'm better than them. So what we were going to do this morning was read Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, and all of chapter 7. But I don't think that we're going to have time to do that. So Matthew 5 through 7. Anybody know what that is? Anybody? Sermon on the Mount. Good job. Heard it from someone. It's a Sermon on the Mount. Probably the most famous sermon in the Bible that came from Jesus. And if you've watched The Chosen, it's definitely the most famous sermon in The Chosen too. There's so much in there. And one of the things that Jesus says, it says right here, this is the cure for anxiety. It starts in Matthew chapter 25 through 34. Some of you really need to read that and you need to write it down because you're anxious all the time. And just read Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34 until it's in your mind so much that it gets in your heart and you're not anxious anymore. Just commit it to meditation. Don't commit it to memory. It doesn't impress me when people can memorize a scripture and they can spout it off. What impresses me is when somebody can live a scripture out. And that's what we're all called to do. Is become this. You know, Pastor Corey says this whenever he talks about reading the Bible. Don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. When you read this, it will bring your intentions to the surface. And then you can bring those intentions to the foot of the cross. And when you bring them to the foot of the cross, Jesus takes them and he gives them back. But now they're his intentions and his motives. And now we're living from a place of being motivated by love instead of motivated by the flesh. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. You know, I think a lot of times we try to manage things in our lives. We try to manage our emotions, manage our sadness, manage our depression, manage our anger. The Bible doesn't say anything about managing those things. You know what the Bible says about them? Put them off. Put off the flesh. Colossians 3, go read it. Put off the flesh and put on the spirit. all of us can go and we can have great intentions of like, yeah, I want to be this, I want to do this, da 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 da, and then we fail and we get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Because if you're discouraged, that's actually showing you that that's all about yourself. We're supposed to deny ourselves. So when you're discouraged with yourself, you're saying that it's up to you instead of up to him. And he's the one that gives you the power. We've got to flip our thinking. We have to. You know, Heidi Baker, I heard her say a long time ago, you know, the kingdom of God, it's an upside down kingdom. And it's completely upside down from what the American gospel is. I'll tell you that for sure. We are not supposed to be seeking our own. We're supposed to be seeking him. And from that place of seeking him and knowing him and meditating on his words and praying and saying, Holy Spirit, I can't do this on my own. Please help me. That goes down into our hearts and it flows out of us, because what's in our heart flows out, right? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. For from it flow the springs of life. Are you having springs of the flesh come out of you? Or are you having springs of the spirit come out of you? And are you sowing to your flesh, or are you sowing to the spirit? All of us need to ask that question on a daily basis. That's what I've been doing. That's what I want to do. You know, I don't want to get up here and I don't want to have a sermon prepared. I want to get up here and I want to speak out of my experiences of what God's showing me. And that's what God's showing me, is that it's not about me. It's about him. And I can't do it on my own. None of us can. So stop trying. Stop trying to do it on your own, please. And please read the Bible, please. I mean, we want our world to change, right? We want America to change. We want people to come to know Jesus. But are we living Jesus? How do we live him? Well, you got to know him. How do you know him? Well, you read his word. It sounds so obvious, yet we forget to do it. And I'm not buying any excuses that I don't have time. I'm just not. Because I'm not buying them for myself. Because there's times I'll get to the... I don't have a set time where I spend this... And Pastor Corey does. And so it's got to be, you know, we're all different people, right? Look at us. You're not going to mix anybody up in this room, right? Everybody looks different. I don't think we got any twins in here, at least that are together. But we're all different. We all function differently. We all communicate differently. Some of us have different first languages, right? Our time with Jesus is not all going to look the same. So for me, I don't have a set time. I used to, that it would be at night, but it's different now, especially now that I'm married. But I make sure that there's somewhere in my day that I am prioritizing Jesus. And I'm talking about reading his word, because I should be prioritizing him all day long. So I'm constantly meditating on him and meditating on his words. But ask him and he'll help you. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm not. Jesus has given us too precious of a gift. for us to not open it and use it. You know, Kaylee said as she prayed out of worship this morning, the sweetest gift is your presence. And that is so true. When I was younger and I used to get Christmas gifts or birthday gifts, I would leave them in the box and not use them because I wanted them to stay new. Here's the best thing about the gifts that Jesus gives. They keep coming. And his presence is sweet, and it's sweeter, and it gets sweeter every time you get in his presence. So please remember as you leave here today that it's not about what you do. It's about who you are, and what you do flows out of who you are. So if you don't like what you're doing, change who you are. Simple as that. And you can't do it without him. You can't. So would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning to get together and to stir one another up in love and good works. And I pray that that is what would happen today, that we would be stirred in love and good works, and that when we go out of here, that when somebody bumps into us, that you are what would spill out of us, so that people would see our lives, because we know, Father, that there are so many people that will never walk into a church building. But let our lives be arrows that point to you, so that people would see our lives and that they would be hungry for you, that they would know there's something different because of the way that we love, because of the way that we drive, because of the way that we do our work, because of the way that we do everything, because it all flows from you. Holy Spirit, speak to every single heart in this room this morning. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.